All right. Hi, this is Kathy. And as you can see, I'm in the car en route. I'm not doing the driving. Mark is. There's Mark over there. Wave, Mark, doing the driving. I'm in the passenger seat doing the writing and talking on my cell phone on our Zoom call. This is Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks, and we are going to turn it over to Debbie. So welcome, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. I welcome everybody that's here today. And I hope you are as excited about this interview as I am, because we're kind of veering off to the, we want to get some men's perspective of anything. And so today, and I love this quote that Mason uses, but first, I want to introduce Mason, and he is a storyteller. His storytelling who helps you understand how to connect to your story and others via their stories. So you will build a base for lasting connections. Stories entertain us, and I know you all will agree. They educate us. Very true. And most importantly, stories connect us as people. They connect us through the regardless of time and culture. He has always enjoyed meeting new people and learning new things. But if he was really honest, he would say meeting new people and making a connection is most important to him. He is a person who has always loved a good story, and story has helped him connect and learn about another person, place, or time. So at the top of Mason's website, he has a quote by Jimmy Neal Smith, which I actually love. We are all storytellers. We all live in a network of stories. There isn't a stranger connection between people than storytelling. So with that, I would like to introduce Mason. Mason Van Dyke, he is a storyteller. And here, this is what I want. He has given me some questions to use as guidelines to talk to him, have him explain what he does and how he looks at different things. So, Mason, thank you for joining us today. I'm looking very forward to this. And I would like for you to go ahead and just start. Where it was you have a question. You said to me, tell us about yourself. This is where everybody needs to start.
Okay. So well, thank you, Debbie. So when Debbie and I were talking about this, she wanted to know, we've known each other for a while, but you know, kind of the distant professional kind of know each other. So as we were talking, she suggested maybe a few questions she could talk to me about. So I want some questions to kind of guide this, but more importantly, keep me from rambling off, because I'm learning to become a storyteller. I am a storyteller, but learning and the connection part, and have been for a long time. So I guess a little bit about me is I am married, been married for 33 years in June. I've got three children, 30, 23, and 14. A little spread out right now. My youngest is an eighth grader. In fact, tonight is opening night for a play in high school. So I started off life in the Air Force, believe it or not, many years ago. Actually, one of my first jobs in the Air Force, I sat in a missile silo. And from there, went on to logistics. And I've had a number of other jobs throughout the years, everywhere from a Fortune 100 consulting to frontline and steel mill, production factories, things like that, production facilities. So I've done a lot of things, but what I've learned over time is how do you connect to people? That's always been the biggest challenge, is how do I connect with people? And that's kind of where the idea of storytelling came up, was through all those different things I've done over the years, is trying to connect with my audience. And the reality is, people who are around you, they're your audience, you know? I'm not trying to be over dramatic about it, but they're your audience. You want them, you're trying to get their attention, you're trying to convey something, you're trying to get them to listen, get engaged, be involved. That's an audience. So.
Well, Mason, so what made you decide to call yourself a storyteller?
So growing up, my father, my dad was in the Navy. I was listening to your story the other night when you're podcasting, how my father's in the Navy also. My father was started off 4 years Air Force, got out, said, no, I don't want to go back home, and went and joined the next 24 years in the Navy. So when I was growing up, it was characteristic of them for what he did as a sonar tech. He was gone 9 months out of the year, every year. It wasn't sometimes, it was every year. You knew that. The housing would empty out. One of our parents would be gone for 9 months. So when he'd come back, my dad would just talk about things he'd done. My dad grew up on a farm in North Dakota, five brothers and a sister. And I don't know if it's because he was a farm boy, because he was in the military, because he was Navy, but dad could tell a story. He always got into things. And that's how he would tell what happened. And to me, I call him his stories. And I could listen to him over and over again. And that is how we connected. That's how I connected with him, because he wasn't physically there. So I would learn about my dad through, he would tell me things he did. Some good, some like, really? So some things he's told me, he suggested I try. I was like, no, Dad, nowadays I would go to jail for that. Can't do that. So when my oldest was born, I wanted to tell my kids stories. I could read them a book, but I wanted to tell stories. And what I quickly learned was adjectives and they weren't my friend. I wasn't able to convey a story. I write a great, dry, factual, focused business report, but I can't tell a story. And I've had to learn over time how to do that. I want to connect to my children. And then as I've done that, like I said earlier, I have found that's my way of connecting with others, because sometimes you want to share things. You want to share your story. Sometimes you need to share stories of your mistakes. You know, it's always nice to share your story of your successes, but share stories of mistakes, whatever they are. The idea being is a story is a beginning, middle, and an end. The end is the lesson learned. And it may not always be a positive lesson learned, but it's a lesson learned. And for me, that was important to connect with folks that way and help others realize, I mean, we all want to be the hero in our own stories, but we don't think we have them. Yeah, we do. Sometimes you just don't realize it when you're going through it, or sometimes you have to look back and realize what you've been through. And sometimes creating your own story can help you understand what you've been through. In other words, your beginning, middle, and end of a situation, or middle plus of a situation, but hey, I can still see this much in perspective, in hindsight. So it's trying to understand that and trying to, you know, sometimes you have to do this to connect to yourself, you know, to connect to yourself. Hey, wait a minute. I'm doing this. I'm on this path. Once upon a time, I started here. I hit this obstacle, this obstacle, this obstacle. Wait a minute. I did all that. And knowing that you did that will help you sometimes connect with yourself. You know, not just others, but connect with yourself. Realize, wow, I got all those things done. It's understanding where you came from, where you're going.
That's very interesting, Mason. How have you used storytelling connecting with your kids?
Sometimes I use it to explain things I've gone through or to help them learn lessons, to show examples of things. You know, nowadays, I'm a pretty nice guy. but I wasn't always this way. And sometimes I will have to use these as examples and say, look, you can learn to be better. You can learn to do different. I did this once. I made this mistake. And I say it that way because I want to use myself as the example, but I want them to help them understand that here's how you can learn something from this mistake. When you make a mistake, you can learn from it and you can grow from it. So I try and do that as a dad, sometimes successful, sometimes it's a delayed response. So
you have to kind of choose your words, right?
Yes, choose your words. And sometimes you have to lay those seeds and then wait for a while for it to grow into understanding.
It's like a garden. You have to plant the seeds and you have to wait. Some will come up, some won't, and you have to nurture them. And it's the same way with kids. You have to nurture them and you want them to be able to learn by your mistakes, but also see the irony in how you use stories to convey a message to them. And that way you're not just preaching to them like so many parents do these days. It's, you know, it's this or the highway. And I'm sure you'll agree with that.
I'm hoping I don't preach too much. I try not to, but I don't know if they would always agree with me on that, but.
Well, it's funny you say that, and I can relate because I'll never forget the one thing my mom said, you'll never understand until you have kids of your own. And how true. So, tell us about the time in the steel mill and how you said to me, you got lost. What does that mean?
One of my jobs after I got out of the service, I left consulting. I was a management consultant for a Fortune 100 company, and they wanted me to start traveling 100%. And that is absolutely not what I ever wanted to do. So I wound up working in a steel mill. And I, without a doubt, tell you, it was the worst experience of my life. Rotating shift work, absolutely horrible for us. I couldn't adjust to it. I was there for almost 4 years, kind of got trapped into a system and really couldn't find a way out. And it's so hard on the lifestyle for sleeping. And I was a walking zombie for pretty much 3.5 years. I was a walking zombie. And when I say that was literally the worst time of my life, I would say work-wise, worst time of my life for me and for my family. And I actually got lost. Hold on 1 second. I'll put my other headphone on because my dog is going nuts upstairs. And I didn't know what I was doing or what I was going to do next. And it was during that time I coined a phrase, I call it narcolepsy of the soul. I kind of just, my soul fell asleep. You know, narcolepsy is the uncontrollable when you fall asleep. Well, my soul fell asleep during that time because I felt so lost and so helpless and hopeless. And I'll never forget, there was one time I got up. And so I got up one day and I remember I was in a dream and I don't remember my dreams, but I woke up and I had this visual that I was waking up in a meadow and I looked around. It was the weirdest thing because I don't dream like this. I don't. And I'm looking around this meadow and I'm seeing all these other people. And some of them are asleep. Some of them are awake. Some of them are moving. They're all going different paths. And I'm sitting there going, wondering to myself, how did I get here? And I remember because I was still in that twilight, you know, when you're waking up. How did I get here and what's next? How do I get out of here? At that point, I woke up. I really had to think about it. And it made for me what became a journal. I mean, I started off as a journal writing because I was trying to understand that dream because there's all these paths leading up this meadow. And what does it mean? And then I realized that meadow, that sleeping person was me because I was so lost. I didn't know how I got there. How did I go from working at the Pentagon to sitting in a steel mill where I was so tired, some days, many days, I had no memory of driving home. There were many days I left work, got home, and could not tell you how. How did I go from there to there? And that started me writing a little more assertively, if you will. You know, I'd written a few kid stories. I started writing a little more assertively, and I started off as a journal, which is, it grew. You know, over 20 years, writing and expanding and asking myself questions and asking other questions, because I really didn't understand how did I get to that point in my life. And you know, as a kid, we're taught, you know, as a kid, you're told, you ever told this, you're on a path, you've got a journey, you know, words like that. And as a kid, all we hear is the Charlie Brown teacher voice. Wow, 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 wow. Don't know what that means. Who cares? I have no idea what that means, you know? And all of a sudden, what happens that day when you wake up going, how did I get here? I mean, I don't mean technically, okay, what steps in my resume to get there, but emotionally, physically, how did I get here? And how do I get out of here? And what's next? And that really started me more assertively trying to be the storytelling kind of person, to better understand my story, because I didn't understand how I got there. Because like I said, it was a low point, and how did I get there? So that's kind of getting lost.
Yeah, I understand. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because my hopes is that with the replay of this, some men will be curious to want to listen to your episode. And I want them to understand why you journal and why it's sometimes very therapeutic for people to journal, like you said. And could you kind of say something to a stranger, a man, as to how this might help them?
Well, I'm going to put it this way, okay? So I'll be 55 in June, so that's the generation, okay? And of course, we know as we're growing up, you don't talk about those things. You don't journal, because if you journal, you're weak or you're wrong, okay?
Right.
You don't admit those things. You don't ever admit to being lost. You don't ever admit to needing help. That's just how we grew up. And that's a crock of not good stuff. Sorry, I almost slipped. I almost slipped. You know, it's interesting when we like the hero or the mentor type. I think, you know, so many folks like the mentor that can guide you. And then I can go to mentor and he can give me these words of wisdom and like that. And, you know, I wish I had had one of those in my life. And I started writing my journal as if I had a mentor. I literally started writing as if, what if I could walk with somebody and help me understand how I got there. And then I started realizing I didn't have a mentor. We all wish, I personally think majority of guys, and I'll just speak from a guy's perspective, you guys get to relate, you wish you had that mentor to guide you, the manly, knowledgeable mentor. Then I realized I didn't have one. I had many of them. But they weren't there for the whole path. They were there for the sections I was on each time. And I didn't recognize it till after the fact. So as I started reflecting, and it's interesting, you know, one of the most famous journals I've written was by Marcus Aurelius. You know, he was one of the last great Roman emperors. So there's your coolness for the guys. But Marcus Aurelius, a Stoic, wrote this journal that is listed, that's read today. He wrote every day. And I started writing, you know, my little story, and realized that I had little mentors along the way for different things I was going through. and I didn't recognize it. And then once I realized I had these guys and didn't realize it, it made me more aware and I was more alert for it. So I had more help than I realized. More importantly, I had more help than I recognized. Mm-hmm. So when you journal, it gives you a sense to step back and say, man, this is awful. I wish I had. And when you think about, I wish I had, whatever that phrasing is, if you're aware of it, now your mind is turned on, you're thinking, I'm aware of it. And your RAS filter is saying, okay, now I'm looking for that. And it is my belief, and I have no data to back this up, but once you turn your, well, there's a lot of data to this. Once you turn your mind onto something, once you turn that filter on, your mind will start looking for what it is you're looking for. So when you take time to reflect on what it is you need, and even if you don't recognize what you need, but you identify, I wish I had, your mind will look for that. And as I started writing, as I wrote my version of a story, if I was walking with a mentor, it helped me be more aware when people like that entered my life, and then I could talk to them. And as guys, as men, we need that. You know, the pandemic, for as horrible as it has been on so many levels, it has highlighted and brought to light the need for these kinds of things. Mindfulness, self-care, you know, reaching out to others. All these things are important. So for my journaling, which will eventually become my book, it is all about my interpretation of my path and how I think I got to where I is, where I am, or where I'm going. I'm not sure which right word is. And what I've seen along the way, what I've learned along the way, some good and some not so good things. You know, there's some things in there. And we need to be aware of that. You know, unfortunately, you know, my little journal has turned into a book. And in there, I do describe a situation, and sadly, this is true. A friend of mine who got lost, felt hopeless, and couldn't find that way out, and is no longer with us. And it's because he couldn't see that, and he couldn't put it out there. And even I didn't pick up on it. This was many years ago, and fortunately I wasn't picking on it. He lived a long way. I didn't see him that often. So I feel sad for him because I wasn't there, you know, and I didn't see him every day. So we only talked rarely a few times a year, but it's like, it must have gotten pretty bad for him. So the importance is to understand you have those things around you. You have these people around you, you know, all this stuff around you. And by reaching out and connecting with others, the importance is, can you connect with others so you don't feel alone? So I started to ramble a little bit. Connecting with others. No, I did. This is why I wanted a question. Connecting with others is what it's about.
It's okay.
Can you connect with others? How do you connect with others? And when we're little kids on the kindergarten, on the playground, hi, my name is Macy. Want to play? Sure, let's go. Well, as grownups, if I walk up to Sally in a store and say, hi, Sally, I'm Mason. She's going to look at me like, go away, you're creepy. It's just not the same nowadays. So, yeah. But you can connect others by telling something you've been through, or and everybody's been through something. Mm-hmm. Funny, goofy, serious, whatever. And if you take a moment to look at that and share that, that is a way to connect with others. And when you connect with others, guess what? You're not alone. None of us want to be alone. Man, meaning men and women, humans are social animals. Humans mm-hmm. are social creatures. By connecting with others, we recognize, we understand that we're not alone. For me, my way of connecting is through telling stories, some serious, some dumb, you know, even share the dumb stories. it helps you connect with others. And that's the important part. Bless you. That's the important part, is to connect with others. And for me, that's what I want to be doing, is I'm learning to become the idea of a storyteller and connecting with others. So.
Excuse me. Bless you. Nathan, I have one question. Or I'm sorry, Mason, I have one question. Nathan's my son-in-law.
That's okay. I've been called that before.
Just one quick question. Do you journal in a book, or do you journal on the computer?
I don't journal actively. Okay. In other words, when you say journaling, some people have a journal and they write every day.
Right.
I don't do that for me personally, but I like to write. I'll write articles. I'll dictate articles. And it's whatever I have. For example, my phone is amazing. You know, I use my phone a lot for dictating things. I sat there the other morning, two or three days ago, I sat out back, I'm having coffee, and I'm watching the clouds. Okay. I look up, there's like two or three whiffs of clouds up there, and they're not moving. They're not moving. And then something distracted me. I looked at my iPad and I was looking at something like that, and looked up what I thought was a few minutes later, and they're gone. And it really wasn't that long. And I sat there staring at them going, they're gone. And it made me think how important that is when you take your eye off of whatever it is you're focused on, it can go away. It can disappear. You know, the lesson is those clouds weren't moving, but all of a sudden I got distracted and they moved away and I didn't realize it. So at that moment, I picked up my phone and dictated exactly that about the clouds. When you take your eye off something, if you lose focus on whatever it is you're focusing on, it can go away before you know it. Before you recognize it, it can go away. So for me, I wrote that. So that's my way of journaling different topics, different ideas. And in this case, the medium was the phone, because it's right there. It's always by my side, sadly, or good, whatever.
It's okay. I like that idea, because there's a lot more interest and there's a lot more in the moment when you pick up the phone and you do that. What app do you use to do this?
Hey, you know, the phones nowadays, I have Android, so I use Note. There's right. One on iPad, I feel on the Apple phones. I don't know what it is. I forget what it is off the top of my head. That's not important. It's they're on there, and nowadays you have great talk to text dictation apps. I heard a quote this morning. I was listening to a YouTube video this morning. I heard a great quote. And what did I do? I put it on my phone real fast because I want to verify it. And let me read this because I really liked it. I want to verify it, but the guy said it was from Emerson, the writing Emerson. It says, people's opinion of the world is actually a confession of their character. Oh. People's opinion of the world is a confession of their character. To me, that's fascinating. Yeah. It says a lot that we're not going to go into in this. But I wrote that. I wanted to get that written down right then because I want to, one, verify it is by, it's a great quote. I just want to verify it's by Emerson. Because when you talk to people and try to relate to people, understanding where their worldview comes from helps you understand them.
Very true. Very true. I don't want to get sidetracked here. But the other day when we were, you were talking about your upcoming book, The Forest Awaken to Your Path. The Forest, excuse me. Awaken to Your Path, Discern Your Journey. Where did you start with the book, and where are you now?
So that is the title of my book. It's The Forest, Awaken to Your Path, Discern Your Journey, because the world around us is our forest. And for me, my analogy, is a forest. And Lewis, from that initial journal, I woke up one day and I had this vision in my head. And I remember asking myself, how did I get here? I remember there were classmates in school that I used to make fun of. And if you look in terms of the world of the typical success ladder, I'm here and they're here, moving my hand way to the top of the screen. Mm-hmm. And yes, I used the word typical. So that's, you have to define the word success for yourself. So then why is that? You know, I used to make fun of this person. Like I said, I wasn't always a nice guy. So what path did they take? What did I take? How did they get there? Why am I only here? I'm using air quotes on purpose. Why am I only here? But then again, maybe that's where I should be. So by understanding how I got to where I got to, is helping me. Okay. I was trying to understand me. Then I turned that, it in effect turned into a book. You know, that wasn't my intent when I started writing. It was a sanity device. It was cheap therapy. You know, I started this Debbie back in 2000. I was in a steel mill from 2000 to 2004. Uh-huh. So I started this sometime around 2000. And it was just cheap therapy for me. And over the years, it turned into something more. You know, trying to understand that, get a better understanding of myself, understanding my path. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, wow, I'm not that unique. Other people are going through this too. They are.
They are.
So that's when the idea of switching to a book came into play. Wow, what if I shared this story? Because I have no problem sharing it and sharing my idea of this. The preface of my book is I wake up, or the reader wakes up, and he meets a traveler. You're going to walk with this guy, and he's just going to share what he's learned, good and bad. You know, and it's primarily listening to someone. You know how you even get in a deep conversation with people? It's listening to someone share what they've been through, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And as I wrote it, some of these experiences are mine, some are other people's. They're all based on somebody I've met over the years. Like I said, I wish I had that one great mentor to lead me all through my life. I didn't, but I've had lots of them at different points for different topics, for different emotional items. And I've just kind of combined them all to one person in this book. So my hope is as a person reads this, they'll understand, okay, so here's kind of how I could have gotten here without beating yourself up, without recriminating yourself, just kind of understanding, okay, so when I travel with people, this is how they could have influenced me. And understanding there are dark parts of our life, there's dark parts of our path, all of that. Right now where my book is, I'm at, the book is done, but I'm not putting it out yet because there's some things I'm going through, which I think tie to the book. So until I get through a certain point for me, I'm not going to put it out yet. It's within the next, it'll be within the next year. But there are things I have to go through because I have learned more about myself in the final part of, do you want to publish this? I've learned so much during that section. You know, the next phase, asking these questions, self-doubts, negative self-talk. I'm not worthy. Who would want to do this? Who would want to read this? I'm not worth it. I have literally had all those conversations in my head over the past year. And it's like, wait a minute, where'd that come from? And I'm fighting through each one of those. And even though other folks, you know, are reassuring me, I'm fighting through those and I recognize they're there and I'm winning a lot more than I used to. And that's the important part.
It is the important part. And that's, you've put enough information into this podcast that when your book does launch, there will be people interested in reading it. Excuse me. And this is a great segue because you and I talked the other day. And what I want to mention is that on your website is masonvandyke.com. And he has his podcast on there.
Blog. I'm blogging. I don't have a podcast yet. I'm blogging.
Blogging.
Actually, okay. The title says I'm gonna jump in here and I'm interrupting on purpose. This goes back to question you tied earlier. So the structure of the website says the word blog and everything's linked to that and like that. But the reality is, when you look at that word blog, that is actually a journal for me. Everything I've written is actually a journal for me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's actually, and because I want to show things for others to learn from, even if they laugh at me and say, what a dork, fine. If you can recognize that and not do that, Mr. Whatever it is, great. I'm happy with that. So there, that's not a podcast, but the word blog is just, it's the functional, but the reality is that's the journal you're asking me about. That's how I journal, is I write things and I put things out there. And that's okay. Just me. That's what I do.
I apologize for misrepresenting you.
I don't false advertise you.
but the blog that you wrote in August, how have you should on yourself today is such an intriguing title. And you have many more on there that I've read a lot of them. But can you just give us a brief idea of what's behind this blog story?
I had breakfast with a friend of mine who was actually going through seminary at the time. Okay. Years back. And he was going through seminary and we were talking, and he got this from one of his professors. And the question was, how have you should on yourself today? S-H-O-U-L-D. So I didn't mispronounce should on yourself. Because the problem is there are so many things we should do every day. We should do this. We should do that. You should dress a certain way. You should act a certain way. You should make a certain money. You should drive this kind of car. You should have this kind of job. It's overwhelming, all the things you should do. And you just should yourself to paralysis. You should yourself to death. And if you do all the things you should do, when do you do what you want to, and for you, what you need to? And the word need is defined by each individual. You know, what you need to do, Debbie, may be different than what I need for me. Okay? Mm-hmm. No problem with that. And if we can be paralyzed by all the shoulds we should do, and maybe it's time to step back and think what we need to do, what we want to do, you know, for the right reasons. So the should concept, and I've heard this over and over again. I hear a lot of it from my friends who are in the clergy talking about that, how you should in yourself, because even they recognize the danger inherent in that, of mm-hmm. being paralyzed and frozen and overwhelmed and just you can stagnate in all those things. You can't. So that word is very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Yeah, so. And if it's said too fast, somebody would
well, that's
misunderstand what you're saying.
You know what, though? The word, okay, and yeah, everybody, I'll hopefully we get the joke, but how you should in yourself versus the other word. But is there a difference? You put too many shoulds in yourself, and is there a difference?
Not really.
Exactly.
Not
dangerous. Really.
Well, I encourage everyone to read your posts, because they're all, you know, they all have intriguing titles, and also to read the intro on your book, The Forest. I read part of it and it was like, wow. So I encourage everyone to do that. So in finishing up here, you wrote on here, you gave me an idea. I'd like to complete or conclude here, that learning about your ability to connect with others, and more important, to help others learn how to connect via our stories. Could you kind of give us a conclusion? Just kind of give us a ending that's going to be so thought-provoking that a person would want to learn more. Because really, that's what we are. We're storytellers, and we want to be able to make a statement and put the little three dots, 1, 2, 3, add, see more to the beginning of our story. You kind of get an idea of what I'm saying?
So you hear, okay. So you hear the term, and I'll use the term war stories. Okay. It's not a military thing. We've all been through our own battles, our own personal battles in life. Serious battles, fun battles, goofy battles, tragic battles, whatever it is. We all have our own war stories. By taking time, one, to look at what your story is, where you came from, what you've been through, that gives you perspective. It gives you self-awareness. But then by being able to articulate that, it can help you connect with others through various ways. People may see you only one way, but if you can convey your story, they may see you in a whole new light. They may connect with you. They may resonate with you in a whole new light. More importantly, they may realize they're not alone in whatever this topic is. Something you've been through, maybe something they're going through, but they were afraid to talk about. They were afraid to learn about, or they were afraid to share. By being able to understand these things and connect with others that way, it helps all of us. You know, no man is an island. You don't want to be alone. And understanding that you're not alone in whatever you're going through really helps all of us. It does. So
I like that, because what you're trying to do is, you think, you said here, I think many men resonate with the idea of sharing their war stories. And that doesn't mean military only. Most of our war stories are actually our lives stories. And I mean, you just gave a great description of that for someone who is new to being a storyteller. And this has been very fascinating today. And I'm really glad that we connected for you to do this interview today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude?
I guess I just want to reiterate, and I've said this a couple of times, and I'm repeating myself on purpose, the importance of understanding your story is crucial. Understand, and it could be scary, it's unpleasant. But understand, taking time, and then if you don't, reach out, reach out to somebody to help them understand it, to connect with yourself, so you can connect with yourself. And then from there, you can move forward. So when I say storytelling, that's what I'm referring to, is that. I mean, I enjoy the kid stories and fun stories, but sometimes we have to have the deeper meaning of understanding where we're coming from. And that's how we connect with each other as people. So. And that is the importance of it, is connecting with each other, connecting, resonating, reaching out to others.
Okay, thank you. Sally, Kathy, do you have anything you'd like to ask Mason?
Not ask, but thank you for sharing, Mason.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I just want to say kudos to you, Debbie, for having such a wonderful podcast. And Mason, I thought I admired you before, but I admire you even more after hearing your story. That was an amazing interview. And thank you so much for sharing your life with us.
Thank you. Appreciate doing this.
Well, thank you, Mason. We all appreciate you. And I, again, will encourage everyone to look at your website, and it's masonvandyke.com. And so thanks, Mason. You have a great weekend. I'm excited to see the reaction once I post this on YouTube. And so I would like to encourage all of my guests and to look up Debbie Marks on YouTube. There you will see all the recordings of the interviews that Kathy and I have done since the beginning. And if you have any comments, please make sure that you comment on YouTube and let us know what you're thinking. Thanks again. And I'm going to say goodbye.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.